Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I had a lot of fun doing a little bit of a deep dive in today's gospel. I realized that I'm ever on Jeopardy, and there's a section on either Jewish purification rites or this sermon. Hopefully I'll get all five of them right. So let's dive right in. And it's a little nerdy, so just bear with me. So between the dates of 1844 and 1848, there was this Hungarian doctor. His name was Ignaz Semmelweis, and he worked at a hospital in Austria, in Vienna. And this hospital he worked at was very large, and it specialized in maternal medicine, the care for mothers and their babies. Now the hospital was split into two separate wards. They had one ward for doctors and the students of the doctors, and they had another ward, call it Ward B, for midwives and the students of midwives. What is fascinating, though, is that despite these two wards, Ward A being the doctors, Ward B being the midwives, in the same hospital, the mortality rates of both of them were extremely different. So the midwives ward had a 36.2% mortality rate, but the doctor's ward, 98%. Due to something that was called at the time childbed fever, which is now commonly referred to as strep throat. So Semmelweis took the initiative to look for differences between these two wards. Does anyone want to guess what he found? Hand washing. Yeah, so he found that a lot of times the doctors in the doctor's ward, Ward A, would examine mothers to be after performing surgery or visiting other patients, and they wouldn't wash their hands. And then some of the mothers would develop infections that would be passed on to the children, leading to higher mortality rates. The midwives, however, they washed their hands before every single patient, and they would have lower mortality rates as a result. And surprisingly enough, whenever that hand washing, the 20 seconds of hand washing was implemented in the doctor's ward, their mortality rates dropped to about the same as the midwife's ward, about 30%. So this theory of hand washing comes from germ theory, which wasn't really popular at the time. It's something we know a lot about now over the past 2.5 years, but it's really not relatively new in the grand scope of things. This idea of washing, of purification, is nothing new, and Jewish purification rituals have been around for thousands of years. So here, for your pleasure, is some Jewish ritual purification edition 101. So we have a purification ritual. There's different types. Generically, though, it's a form of water-based either hand washing or immersion for removal of any sort of ritual impurity. Sometimes just requiring a simple washing of the hands, or other times requiring like a full immersion in what's called a mikvah in traditional Judaism. So oral law requires the use of undrawn water for any ritual for full immersion in this mikvah. That can either be sourced from a water, from like a river, a stream, or a spring, or any type of special bath, like the mikvah would take in rainwater and be used. So ritual purification was required following childbirth, after menstruation, after any infections of the body, skin irritations, so forth, anything that would deem someone to be quote-unquote unclean. And most often, this water used for purification was from what? A living water source. And the water was typically transported from a lake or a river or a stream, and then was placed in these large stone cisterns for use of later purification rituals. And this is really important in today's gospel story. Does anyone remember what the gospel story said about the jars in which Jesus put the wine? They were used for holding the water, but they were empty. They were empty. They weren't full. So Jesus had to tell them to go fill them up with water. So what does that tell us? It tells us that maybe the family had an incident at their local temple, and they didn't really feel like they could attend services anymore. Maybe they were busy with wedding plans, as so often happens, and they got so caught up in them that they couldn't hold or do all their religious rites and traditions that they once did. And John is unique in his Gospels. He's the only Gospel writer that actually refers to these miracles not as miracles, but as signs. So what does this sign, this transformation of water into wine from an empty purification cistern, tell us? It tells us that Jesus chose this family, this one who has lapsed in their religiosity, in their traditions, in their rites, or in their rituals, to perform his first sign that eventually led to his execution, that he was the Son of God. And this is something that we can relate to today. Because it's so often, it seems like our own cisterns are empty. It seems like we are lacking our own religious rituals or religious traditions. We might not pray as much as we used to, or attend church as regularly as we did at one time. Our children might not attend church with us, or we might seem estranged from friends and family when it comes to matters of the church. We might find ourselves despondent or questioning the church and our beliefs, confused about what we believe and why, and searching for questions that really only God knows the answer to. But it's in those situations when we are lacking in our religious beliefs and we are questioning that Jesus comes to us. He fills up our empty vessels, even when we're not expecting it. The wedding guests at Cana certainly did not expect Jesus' sign that day, and we often do not see how Jesus is working in our own lives to fill up our own cisterns. He comes to us quietly, though, in our frail parishioners, in the bringing together of two separate congregations into one church service that worships together, and bringing new life into our lives, into the smiles and the snacks of those kiddos that are right over there, and the hope of growing membership, in the food pantry that we fill outside, and in the many donations that we give for local ministries. And those good works are a byproduct of the faith that we have in Christ. And as we take that faith and we run with it toward good works, we are experiencing that renewal, that filling up of our inner cistern that's found really at the heart of Psalm 51. And it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm paraphrasing. He is a new cistern. The old has passed away, because behold, the new has come. And just as purification rites are sourced from a source of living water, Christ is our living water. And he fills up our lives with the living water of his love. And as we look forward in the next year, 2022, in a series of new beginnings, may we be renewed with the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, and we look for the ways that he is filling up our cistern right here on Mount Sinai and Grounds of Lutheran Churches. Amen.